You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in our last lecture, we were looking at Proverbs and the teaching of the Holy Spirit about the corrupted heart, enlightening us so that we can see the situation that we found ourselves in. Again, the Holy Spirit is the one who enlightens us, opening our eyes so that we can see and opening our hearts so that we can believe. Now, the Holy Spirit teaches us in Proverbs chapter 16, saying, "All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but Yahweh weighs the spirit." Now again, as we said before, fallen humanity is so utterly spiritually blind that it does not recognize its own condition. Now, a sinner might think that he has no sin. He might think that he does everything right in his own sight, and he thinks he's wise in his own eyes. However, the Holy Spirit is the one who is the Spirit of wisdom, the one who gives us the gift of wisdom. Now, how does he do this? By teaching, preaching, proclaiming, instructing through the Word of God, the written Word, the vocal Word. Now, we have the written Word so that we can be certain and sure that we're hearing the true voice of God, and not the voice of the world, in the ways of the world, in the wisdom of the world, in the ways of wickedness in the world, but rather that we would clearly hear the voice of God, the light in the midst of darkness. Now again, in chapter 16 of Proverbs, the Holy Spirit teaches us that there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it is the way to death. Now later on in chapter 21 in Proverbs, once again, this wisdom is bestowed upon us. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but Yahweh weighs the heart. Now again, even if a man judges himself to have no sin, judging what he determines to be right and wrong, good and evil, even if he thinks that he is not in any kind of a dire straits or any kind of a delusion or any kind of darkness or any kind of deception. Understand, just because he thinks something is true doesn't make it true. The Holy Spirit brings the truth of God's Word. God alone is the judge. God alone determines what is right and wrong, what is good and evil. And thus, the Holy Spirit teaches us in Proverbs chapter 20 with a question, a meditative, contemplative question. Who can say, I have made my heart pure? Who can say, I am clean from my sin? Well, now, of course, this is a rhetorical question. We know the answer. It is obvious. No one can make his own heart pure. No one can cleanse himself from sin. We cannot rid ourselves from our own sinful condition. There is nothing that we can do that will cleanse us, that will make us holy. Again, it is the Holy Spirit who teaches us in Proverbs 30, saying this, "Now there are those who are clean in their own eyes, but are not washed of their filth." Now again, in this condition of fallen humanity, in the blinded spiritual condition that we're in, the corrupted heart might think that there is no sin because the corrupted heart doesn't see sin. Why? Because the person now has judged what is good and evil, what is right and what is wrong. But just because the heart says so doesn't make it right. Just because the heart says so doesn't make it true. Now, the sinful heart, of course, is corrupted, blinded. It cannot see properly. By nature, we are all born spiritually blind. We cannot see the truth. the truth must be revealed to us by God. And thus, the work of the Holy Spirit is to enlighten us, that is, to bring us into the light. God's word is light. As we confess in Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Or for instance, throughout the whole book of Isaiah, he opens with the invitation in chapter 2 saying, O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of Yahweh. Now remember, Isaiah is a prophet to the people of Israel, the people of Israel who have the gift of God's word. They have the written word. They have the preaching office of those who are to preach the word of God so that God's voice could be heard clearly and correctly. However, in the days of Isaiah, just like in our days, the blind lead the blind. Thus, the Lord sends his prophet, his mouthpiece, to speak his word in the midst of the darkness, to lead the people out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that's the invitation. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of Yahweh. And we see this theme throughout the book of Isaiah, especially in Isaiah chapter 9, in which the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Of course, who are the people that are walking in darkness? God's own people, the people of God who have the Word of God but resist the work of the Holy Spirit when they reject God's voice. But yet God sends his prophet into the midst of darkness to bring them into the light and set their eyes on the great light, the one who has come to shine upon them. Well, who is the great light? None other than Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is the light of the world. Now, this is Isaiah chapter 9, right at the beginning. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Well, their eyes are set on the child that is to be born. In Isaiah chapter 9, for to us a child is born and a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus is the light of the world. Now, of course, understand that in the New Testament Gospels, we have these accounts over and over again of the miracles of Jesus. And one of the miracles that he will perform is the recovery of sight, giving back the blind the ability to see physically, and the ability to see spiritually. And so Isaiah will pick up on this theme in chapter 42 of his scroll, in which he says this at verse 16. I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. You see, these are the words of God, God coming to his people, the one who is light and the one who is life, entering into the darkness and the death of fallen creation to restore us, to reunite us, to reconcile us. Of course, Isaiah chapter 42 is the same chapter that the voice the Father proclaims from heaven that we would look at his Son, that we would look at the light of the world, in which the Father says, Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and he will bring forth justice to the nations. You see, Jesus is the one anointed by the Holy Spirit according to his human nature. He is the one who is anointed without measure, and then he gives the Spirit without measure. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus comes to proclaim, that is, to preach and release us from the deception and the delusion of the devil, bringing us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And like we have said, faith comes through hearing the preaching of Christ. Now, this is why all the prophets testify that there's forgiveness of sins found in the name of Jesus alone. This is why all the apostles testify that there's no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. And as we were talking about last time, in John's first letter to the baptized in chapter 1, he says this, "If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another," that's a communion, "and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." You see, this is what it means to walk in the light, to walk in Christ, who is the light, to be covered, to be cleansed by his blood. Now, if we say we have no sin, John goes on, he says, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now notice that John goes on and he says this, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him, that would be God, a liar, and his word is not in us. Now again, God is truth. God speaks the word of truth. The Father sends forth the Son, who is the truth, the one who comes to bring us out of falsehood into his truth, the one who comes to bring us out of darkness into his light. Now understand that Christ is the light of the world. Christ comes to release us from our sins, to redeem us from our sins, to free us from our sins, and to lead us in the light. And that's why John will go on and he'll say, "My little children, I'm writing for this purpose. These things I write to you so that you may not sin. However, if one does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." Now, this is 1 John chapter 1 into chapter 2. Now notice that the message of the apostles is the invitation to walk in God's light. The message of the prophets is the invitation to walk in God's light. When we walk in God's light, we have truth. When we walk in God's light, we have the forgiveness of sins. Apart from God's light, apart from God's truth, we are deluded and deceived and captured and captivated by our sins. But yet, God comes to free us, to release us. And notice that how God sends the prophets to speak his word to initiate this dialogue, this conversation with us. God reveals to us the truth. The Holy Spirit is working to enlighten us. And then we, in response, we proclaim what God has done, calling us out of darkness into his light. We see our sin as it's exposed by God's word of truth, and then we confess our Savior as we rejoice in the salvation that he comes to bring. That this dialogue begins with the voice of God being spoken through the mouth of the prophets and the apostles. And then we take these words upon our own lips and we proclaim what God has done. We respond in prayer, petition, giving thanks to God, praising his name in all circumstances. And of course, we can approach God because of the advocate, because of the one mediator, Christ Jesus, who is our high priest. He is the one who gains access for us with the Father. Now, our whole life of conversation with God, hearing his word, and petitioning and praying and praising God for who he is and what he's done is taught to us by the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. Now, in the book of Psalms, we are taught continuously how we are to properly approach God in prayer, all for the sake of Jesus Christ, the high priest. We have a mediator with God. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Because he stands as our high priest before the Father, we have access to the throne of mercy. Therefore, we come into his presence recognizing our sinful condition. We confess that we are unclean by nature and that we cannot free ourselves from our own corrupted condition. Now, when we are in the light, our sin is exposed. But when we are in the light, The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all of our iniquities. Now, the Word of God gives to us this truth, proclaiming who we are by nature, sinners, and proclaiming who Jesus is by nature, a Savior. Now, of course, understand that we don't have to make Jesus our Savior. He is our Savior. Just like Jesus is our Creator, we don't have to ask Him to be our Creator. He is our Creator by nature. This is who He is. He is the one who has created us. He is the one who has redeemed us. And He is the one who is sanctifying us with His blood. He has come for us. In fact, that's what His name is all about. He is called Jesus because He saves His people from their sins. Now, in the book of Psalms, we are taught how to have this divine dialogue with a holy God. We come into His presence recognizing our own unholiness, but rejoicing in the gift and the bestowal of His holiness, all for the sake of Christ our Savior. Now, for instance, in Psalm 19, we are taught to say this, to put forth this meditation into our hearts, asking the question, who can discern His errors? Now, again, these questions in the Scripture, these are these rhetorical questions that we are to contemplate and meditate as we think about the divine truth that God gives to us. Who can discern His errors? Well, the answer is obvious. No one can. I can't. And so you're teaching your own heart. You're teaching your own soul by taking the Word of God and planting it into your heart. And therefore, in Psalm 19 at verse 12, when we put forth the question, who can discern His errors? That's a pause, a moment of meditation. And then we say, declare me innocent from my hidden faults. Now notice how this dialogue works. God is teaching us. The Holy Spirit is instructing us with His Word, enlightening us, giving us that meditative question, opening our eyes to see that no one can discern his own errors. Therefore, He gives us the words to respond with, petitioning God and asking that God would declare us innocent from any hidden faults, the faults that we don't even see in ourselves. I mean, let us be honest. It's so much easier to see the faults in somebody else than to see the faults in your own heart, in your own life, in your own thinking, in your own speaking, in your own acting. But it's very easy for us to see the faults in somebody else's speaking or thinking or acting. But the Word of God is given to us to instruct our hearts. The Holy Spirit is working conversion, changing our minds to see things from God's perspective, knowing that we cannot discern our own errors. Therefore, we approach God in humility, recognizing that we can't even see our own sin, coming before Him and saying the same thing that He says. We are sinners by nature. And sin is what we do. We cannot free ourselves from this condition. Now you see, in this fallen condition, this corrupted condition of the heart is so deceptive that we can't even enumerate all of our sins. They are hidden from our sight. We are spiritually blind. I mean, you might recognize a sin or two or three or four, but yet there's even more that you can't see, that I can't see, that we can't see because of the sinful condition that we're in. But God is the one who is renewing us, restoring us, and regenerating us. He's constantly converting us with His Word. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to enlighten us, exposing our sin, so that we would set our eyes on our Savior, which is Jesus. Now, let me give you another example. In Psalm 90, we are taught to pray in this way, saying, "We are brought to an end by your anger, O God. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. Now, this is how we're taught to pray, that we draw before God, recognizing that, yes, God is love, but at the same time, recognizing that our sin provokes God's anger, provokes God's wrath, and brings judgment upon us because of our condition. So we recognize this as we stand before a holy God, that by nature, what we think that's sinful, what we say that's sinful, what we do that's sinful, provokes God to anger. So we recognize this, humbly drawing into his presence, saying that we now understand that you've set our iniquities before you. Our secret sins are in the light of your presence, so that what's in our heart, God knows. We might not even understand what's in our own heart, but God is the one who weighs the heart. God is the one who knows our secret sins. Now, nobody else may know them, and we might not even know them, but God knows them. So notice that we confess even the secret sins that we are not aware of, that our sins brings God's holy anger and wrath. God sees all of our sins before us. We cannot cover them before God's eyes. We can't hide them from God. Now again, understand what the Holy Spirit is doing here with a psalm like 90. In Psalm 90, the Holy Spirit is instructing us in truth, that our sin provokes God to anger, that our sin is before him. We can't hide it. We can't just brush it under the rug and pretend like it's not there. We can't ignore it and declare that it's right in our sight. Therefore, God should see it right in his sight. Now, the Holy Spirit is teaching us this reality that when we draw into his presence, we come humbly, confessing our sins. But then the Holy Spirit will also teach us to confess our Savior. We say the same thing that God says. God says that by nature we are sinners, and we say, yes, this is true. And then God says that by nature he's a Savior. He has come to save us from our sins, and we say, yes, this is true. Now again, understand that God is holy. When we draw into his presence with prayer, we are going before a holy God. And by nature, we are not holy. We know that God sees what's in our hearts. The Holy Spirit reveals this to us, instructs us, enlightens us, so that we can't hide anything from God. We might hide it from somebody else because somebody else didn't see it, but God is the one who judges the heart. He knows it. So we recognize this in humility. And then in a psalm like Psalm 51, the Holy Spirit then teaches us to say this. We petition God and say, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Now again, notice that the Holy Spirit teaches us that God sees our sins. So we confess that we have sins. We don't try to hide it. In fact, we acknowledge that we can't hide it. We can't cover it up by whatever methods or means that we try to produce from the imagination of our own corrupted hearts. We cannot make ourselves holy. We can't have a method of holiness where we cleanse ourselves from our own sins. Instead, we come before God as beggars, beseeching him to act mercifully as he is merciful. We ask that he would not look at our sins and count them against us. We ask that he would blot out our iniquities. Now notice how Psalm 51 begins. We come humbly before God saying, with David, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out all my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. You see this? We ask God to act as God is. God is merciful. We ask him to be merciful. Now, notice the contrast here. When we draw before the holy God, we don't go before his presence bragging about what we have done, boasting about all of our works and our methods of holiness, the ways that we are right in our own sight. We don't go before God to boast and to brag. Instead, we humbly go before God, confessing not what we've done that's good, but what we've done that's bad. Thus, the Holy Spirit teaches us to confess before God, saying that we, by nature, are sinners, and we have sinned. This is what we have worked. But now we draw into God's presence as beggars. Thus, Psalm 51 teaches us to confess before God our sins, saying, I know my transgressions. My sins are ever before me. It is against you and you only that I have sinned, and that I have done what is evil in your sight. Therefore, you are justified in your words, and you are blameless in your judgments. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. You see what's taking place here? God is teaching us this divine dialogue. The Holy Spirit comes to enlighten us. This is the person and work of the Holy Spirit bringing to us wisdom. He's the Spirit of wisdom. He does this with the Word of God, instructing us and teaching us about our condition. So here in Psalm 51 in verses 3 through 6, we have learned from the Holy Spirit that we are sinners. We are transgressors. Transgression is what we do. Sin is what we do. In fact, we were brought forth in iniquity and we were conceived in sin. This is the original sin. Because of the fall into sin by Adam and Eve, we are conceived and born in the image and likeness of Adam, the rebellious one, the one who refused to listen to God's word, rejecting what God had instructed, instead deciding by his own heart what he thought was right in his own sight and what he thought was wise in his own eyes. But then notice how the Holy Spirit continues to teach us so that we confess before God our own sinful condition. We've been brought forth in iniquity. We have been conceived in sin. We know our transgressions. They're ever before us. But we also know our Savior. We know that Christ came to take away sin. And this is why, in a state of humility, we confess our sins, and then in the state of rejoicing, we confess our Savior. We petition Him to act based upon His promises. He alone is the one who can cleanse our hearts. You see, in this condition, we don't even know what to pray, but the Holy Spirit gives us the words to say. So at verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Now notice the Holy Spirit is teaching us to pray and to say that God would act according to his promises. And thus at verse 8, we cry out and we say, let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer Jesus Christ continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.